Okay, good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our preparation for the Seder. We spoke yesterday about the matzah and what are the feelings that a person needs to have when they're eating the matzah. We explained the matzah is the bread of freedom and hametz is the bread of slavery. A person who has the right understanding of the matzah, it will bring a person to a tremendous level where they become a truly free person. Truly free means the ability to reach their goals and their ability to reach life's goals in the most beautiful way. Today we're going to give another aspect of the matzah. Yesterday we spoke about how the matzah and hametz, the difference between them is time. That hametz represents people who live their life as spectators, waiting for things to happen, or blaming their issues on others and on situations. And matzah represents a person who's constantly working to make their life what it should be. That is where freedom comes from. When you wait for things to happen, or you blame things for what happened, you will never be able to reach your freedom. Another aspect of hametz and matzah is dealing with one of the big tragedies, something we all have to deal with. And many people, unfortunately, fall in this area of life. And this is going to be given to us, the strength given to us by the matzah. And that is that in life, very often our decisions are based on other people, which means that rarely can a person actually think completely for themselves. We have a very big connection to people's opinions. We need to feel respected by people around us. We need approval from the people that are around us. And because of that, our decisions for ourselves very often cannot be where they need to be. We do not live our life with our own decisions for ourselves, because we're constantly worried about what people are going to say, what people are going to think about us. And that is a very, very big component of our decision making. We don't even realize how much of people's opinions play a role in our lives. And that's why a person can learn, be convinced, understand, and yet come out and do nothing. A person can be inspired and see clear clarity, but doesn't make any changes in his life. A person can know that life is quite short and time is of the essence and there's so much to accomplish. He sees that clear, but yet his actions don't necessarily reflect his clarity. We see that all the time in our lives, that very often our understanding of things doesn't translate into our actions. Again, like I said, many, many times we do have an awareness of how much influence this external factor is having in our decisions? And I would tell you that most often we don't even realize how many of our decisions instinctively are being made. We already have an instinct that we do things to get the approval of others. This instinct has been developed for many years. When we're young, we're totally dependent on other people's opinions. We don't have a real measurement of our own for what's considered good or not good. So where do we get our measurement if we're good or not? We need other people's approval. We don't have our own stick to lean on. So we need to lean on other people's stick. We need our parents to give us approval. We need our teachers to give us approval. We need our friends to give us approval, because we don't really have any other source to feel good and special about ourselves. The fact that a person needs to feel good, that's a human being. We all need to feel good about who we are. So when we're young, when we're little, the only way we're capable of feeling those good feelings about ourselves, that we're a good person, is we need other people to tell us that. That's why we have to write a mitzvah note and give it to our teacher. And our teacher says, wow, great job, and we're feeling great. When we're little, we feel very special that we've been recognized for something that we did good. And that's how we grow up. And it becomes habit. And it becomes our instinct. And it continues. At some point, it needs to expire. But the world of habits doesn't expire on its own unless a person knows what the issue is and makes a plan to resolve it. So it's not our fault that we started this way, because that's the way Hashem made us. If Hashem didn't make us this way, which fool would try to impress other people who for the most part don't even care about him and don't really matter in his happiness and have no effect on him, not too much in this world and certainly nothing in the next world? Why would someone ruin their life for their friends who he's not even going to be around in a couple of years from now? How many teenagers in high school have ruined their lives strictly to make other people like them, knowing, or maybe not realizing, that these friends, they're not even going to know them in 5 or 10 years from now? I mean, they might invite them to their wedding. They might have some connection with them, but for the most part, their 24-hour day is going to have very little of these people. So instead of building themselves in their young years for their future and for their eternity, they decided that they just fell in the trap that they're going to spend 4 years of their lives trying to impress other people around them that don't care about them and have no value in their future success. Those people aren't going to make their marriage a happy marriage. Those people are not necessarily going to help them when they need help. Those people are not going to make them money when they need to make money. So what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Answer is, it's a habit. Once it's a habit, it becomes instinct. You don't even have to think about it. You're not doing it based on logical thought. When a teenager acts this way, I say teenager out of respect to people who are adults. But of course, you understand, this doesn't expire. When a person gets older, a person could be 100 years old and still in the same mindset. The way of habits is they continue to ride the person, and without even realizing, the person is living their lives very much aware of others' opinions and changing their way of life or not changing their way of life because he's stuck. He's a slave to their opinion. Most people that we see in the world today are slaves in this department. They may look like they're making their own decisions. They may look like they're wearing what they want to wear. They may look like they're saying what they want to say. It may look very independent on the outside, but in reality, the chains of slavery to the amount of people around them that are holding them back from making their own decisions is amazingly, amazingly abundant. Not one, not two, not three. Different levels of how much I have to impress somebody. Every once in a while, you hear a person that says, me, I don't care about anybody's opinion. I do my own thing. That guy, you know, is the slave of slaves. When you have to make proclamations about how much you are an independent person, so then you know it's very obvious that you lack. When you need to make proclamations, that you're not a slave, then that shows that you're a slave. Most people don't walk outside and say, no, I'm not a slave. But if you see someone say, I'm not a slave, there's a very big hashash that you're probably a slave. So these things don't work with declarations. They really need avodah, it needs work, because like I said, it's the very nature of a person to care about what people say. That's how we started our lives. That was our lifeline for many years. It takes a big person to make that change. And this is represented by the hametz. As we said yesterday, the hametz and matzah are the same ingredients. Water, flour. How do they become such opposites? How does one represent disaster? Like the Zohar says that the hametz is the yesara. It's a life of failure. Hametz represents a life of complete failure. And the matzah represents a life of kedusha, a life of greatness. How could it be? Well, yesterday we mentioned one aspect. Today we'll mention another aspect to the hametz. The hametz, while it's flour and water in its essence, when you leave it alone and you don't work it, an intruder comes from the outside and changes the look of the what's supposed to be matzah. You see, matzah retains its simple ingredients and stays as is. It's called lechem oni. Lechem oni, because it has nothing beyond his poverty, but not in a bad way poverty. It's bread that only has what it is. It didn't get any extra from the outside. It retains its identity as is. Hametz, you leave it, and all of a sudden, from the outside come attackers, and they change this flour water item and they blow it up and they make it something different than what it is. So hametz represents the person that's completely independent of external influence. Flour, water. There's no other influence. There's no air. There's no sweetness. There's no honey. There's no nothing. Unlike matzah ashira, egg matzah, other types of nicer matzah, those are not kosher for the night of Pesach. You can't have egg matzah the night of Pesach. Why not? It's kosher. They made it with all the right kashrut requirements. What's the problem? Problem is the bread of freedom cannot have any external factors in it. It needs to remain as pure to the source of what it is without any external influence. That is what creates an independent person. A person who's completely living their own life. They can learn from others. That's also part of their own life. To learn from other people, from other people's experiences, to learn what not to do from people. But as far as their decision-making of their life, how they decide what to do, what not to do in every area of life, the greatest freedom in life and the greatest success in life will come to a person who is unaffected by any external influence when they make life decisions. That's a very big goal for any person to reach. It's not just a goal of holiness, like it's the right thing to do, but it's also the ingredient to independence. Because Hashem made every person, each person on their own, capable of reaching tremendous success and happiness in their life, in their lane. Once they are affected by external influences, then they lose their own lane and they will never be able to reach happiness or success in a different lane, even if that lane is ashir, even if that lane tastes better, even if that lane is puffier and softer, they will not be able to reach their life success unless they stay in their lane. Staying in their lane doesn't mean they don't have ambition. They have great ambition to succeed spiritually, monetarily, physically, but it's within their lane. They're not looking to measure themselves with other people and the expectations of the people around them. This is where you will find true freedom and true success of a person. The Hametz represents the opposite. The external factors that came in and ruined the flour and water ingredients. Now you might ask, ruin? Rabbi, you didn't ruin it. What do you mean? What tastes better? Bread or matzah? I say, oh, bread tastes better. But notice that you could leave matzah in your pantry for years to come and you will be able to eat them as they came out of the oven. But when it comes to hametz, it might blow up for a little bit. It might taste good. He may have a good run for a couple of days, maybe a week. And then it's rotten. Boy, you got nothing left. Amazing. That is the Yetzer Hara. That's what the Zohar means, Yetzer Hara. It's not just something negative, but it's exactly like the Yetzer Hara. It gives the person this feeling when you're following other people, when you're connected to external factors around you, and you're measuring yourself so that others can give you the respect and give you the the popularity that you're looking for and the good feelings that you're looking for. Yes, you're going to feel great when they look at your car and say, look at that guy. Look how great he is. You walk into the house and you're feeling very blown up. Feels good. Ah, the rabbi in shul says, that's not a good thing. Are you kidding? That he doesn't know what this feels like. He doesn't understand how good it feels when people approve of my actions and respect me for what I have and what I do. He doesn't understand. He's a hazik case. He's looking only in the books. His eyes don't understand the feelings that come, the good feelings. He says that's called slavery. He doesn't understand that this is the freedom. Look how good it feels. Yes. Also, bread, when it's attacked by outside influence, it's going to taste very good for a little bit. But then it gets ruined. That great feeling that you just got from one of your friends, in 5 minutes, will be ruined by another friend. In another hour, you'll have another issue. Because once you have given keys to your success to the people around you, you're now up for grabs. Sometimes they give you what you want. Most of the time, they don't. Most times, people are not even thinking about you. So they're not going to take care of your ego and your hunger for recognition. So then your life will become a life of hametz. You go up, and then you go down. You go up, you feel the taste, and then it gets ruined. But the matzah represents a constant. Something that doesn't get ruined. Something that stays true to its core and is completely independent of external influence. Such an unbelievable thing. And when a person is eating the matzah, they need to know the real freedom is my ability to be an independent person, free of outside influence. And I need to work on that to make my life a real, healthy, successful life in this world and the world to come. You know, one of the great hungers of life is the hunger for honor, for kavod. You know, it's very difficult while eating the matzah and telling myself that, you know, it doesn't really matter what people think. It doesn't really matter what people say. It does matter, by the way, what people think. And it does matter what people say only if it's relevant to make me a better person. If they're saying something that might be actually a wake-up call for myself, they're talking about the way I talk. And then I think to myself, maybe they're right. Maybe I'm not talking right. In that way, of course it matters what people think. When we say it doesn't matter what people think, it means to make my decisions. I need to make my decisions. Of course, I have to gather all the information and learn as much as I can from others. But my decisions, I'm the one driving, nobody else. When a person is eating the matzah, they should be thinking about that. That's the feelings that a person should have when they're eating the matzah. That I'm going to gain independence by staying true to my core. But in reality, have we really helped the person? Have we really helped the person who's angry by telling him, let me give you good advice, don't get angry anymore? Have we really done anything for that person? For the most part, of course not. Because the person himself also doesn't want to be angry. Have we helped the person? And by telling him, listen, you should be independent. You should not be relying on external influence. You should be doing your own decision. It doesn't matter what people say, your friends, whether they approve of you. They don't. Come on, they make a difference. Have we really helped the person? And of course, the answer is no. Why is the answer no? Because honor, kavod, unlike what most people might think, is actually a very big necessity for human existence. A person needs honor just to exist. A person who goes without feeling kavod is a person who will not survive in this world. Just like you need food to survive, a person needs kavod. You need that feeling of honor in order to move on. You'll notice that a person who feels accepted and respected by the people around them, they feel strong, they feel energetic, they wake up early. A person who feels rejected becomes very weak, doesn't want to get out of bed, doesn't want to talk to anybody, loses their energy. We could just tell. If you see a person that looks like they lost all their strength, you can just tell very often that they have an issue with their friend. They've been rejected by a friend. They've been rejected on a date. They've been rejected on a something. You could tell. They lose their strength and they lose their energy. So kavod translates into our physical strength and our ability to live life with strength and with success. This is the story of kavod. Kavod isn't the enemy like we've been taught for so many years. We've learned statements such as, a person needs to run away from kavod. One who runs after kavod is going to run away from him. All different types of statements. Kavod motzit adam min ha'olam. If you're running after honor, it's going to take you out of the world. It's going to destroy your life. So all we hear is how terrible kavod is. But in reality, that is the wrong message. The words that I quoted are correct, but they need to be understood correctly. Because for face value, if you read them, that kavod is the enemy, then you're reading it wrong. Kavod is not the enemy. It is actually an essential part of the human. We must have kavod. So where is the difference between the kavod that's good and the kavod that's ugly? And the answer is, where does your kavod come from? You know, notice when Hashem describes His presence, He describes His own presence as kavod, His honor. Melo kol ha'aretz kevodo. We say Hashem's presence fills the entire earth. And what is His presence called? What does He call His presence? Kevodo, His honor. How bad can honor be if the Creator decided to call His own presence, my honor is here. David HaMelech, when he wanted to awaken in the morning, he said the words, Ura Kevodi. He tells his honor, Ura, wake up. He's talking to his soul. What does he call his soul? Not Nishmati. Ura. Awaken kevodi, my honor. So he's calling his soul, his honor. Can't be such a bad thing. So what is kavod? that is essential, and what is kavod that destructs it. If we don't know the difference between the two, I'm afraid that there will be no solution to a person's need for other people and their approval. Where does Hashem's kavod come from? That is the key to this subject. Hashem's honor comes, like we say in the pasuk, Kadosh, 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 Melo kol ha'aretz kevodo, which means, the word Kadosh means Hashem is great. Hashem is tremendously unselfish. Hashem has so much wisdom. Hashem is emet. Hashem is compassionate. Hashem is patient. Hashem is a gibor. Hashem has all these great attributes that make him so unique. Kadosh. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And the more we get to know him, the more Kadosh we realize he is. That's why they keep repeating, Kadosh, Kadosh, more, more, more. It just keeps going. We just say it three times. But the angels keep going. They say, wow, he's even greater than that. And, oh, he's even greater than that. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Melo kol ha'aretz kevodo. The source of Hashem's honor comes from within himself. Hashem created this world that when you do things that are of true value, you have, besides doing a mitzvah, besides getting credit, you are filling up in the kavod station. Imagine you had a kavod station where you go take yourself and you fill up all kinds of kavod inside yourself. If people had such a station, it would be tremendously successful. Because we live in a generation that people are extremely low on the kavod meter. Hashem made a kavod station for us. It's called Torah and mitzvot and midot tovot. A person learns, commits himself to acquire wisdom of the Torah, dedicates himself. Besides learning Torah, besides that you got smarter, besides that you're doing a mitzvah that you get a check for, but you're also filling up your tank of kavod. You're walking out of the shiur and you're feeling full. By the way, anybody who has learned Torah and has felt the power of this kavod cannot deny it. You walk out of the class, you walk out of the shiur, and you feel full. You didn't eat anything. So why do you feel full? You feel like something filled you up. That feeling is the feeling of kavod. Wisdom you got. But the full feeling is the feeling of kavod that you just got filled up with. When you help somebody that's in need, besides the mitzvah, but there's this good feeling, that good feeling is kavod. When you honor your parents and you bring them nahat, you bring them pleasure, and you watch them glow because of what you've done for them, you feel kavod. You feel filled up. When you write a nice check and you give up of yourself for somebody, it might hurt as you start writing the check, but after you give it, you feel kavod. You feel full of something that you can't put your fingers on. But anyone knows that feeling is there. It's a great feeling. When a person fills up with kedusha, Kedusha is any action that we do that is of a spiritual accomplishment. It could be a physical act, but a spiritual accomplishment. Whether it's good character, we used to be angry, now we're calm people. That itself feels very, very mechubad. Has a tremendous weight. A person who's learning more Gemara, more halakha, more musar, more learning more. I'm pushing myself, I'm learning. I have a commitment, I need to learn more, I need to do more. That person is filling themselves up with kavod. The word kavod in Hebrew comes from the word kaved. Kaved means heavy. When a person acquires all the different types of spiritual achievements that Hashem gave us the opportunity to grab, they will feel heavy. Heavy with good feelings. This is the healthy kavod that comes from within without any external source that is represented by the matzah. The matzah, its essence is itself. Whatever it gave of itself. The hametz represents the poor man. The empty tank of kavod person. Poor guy. What can he do? He needs kavod. He needs to feel good about himself. There's no choice. He's not doing much in his life. Not accomplishing much. He's pretty lazy. Doesn't really help anybody. Even when he does, it's like for himself. Not learning much. No connection to the Creator. A pretty empty person. Not unusual in this world. The empty guy. What should he do? How's he going to survive? Well, he has no choice. He's going to have to get kavod from somewhere. So, he has to reach his hand and open it and tell the people in his life, please, I need your help. You ever see somebody who doesn't have money to support his family, doesn't have money to put food on the tables? He opens his hand and says, please, could you help me? It's not a very pleasant experience. To go open your hand for someone else to fill it. It's very embarrassing. It's not a good feeling. Amongst other things that are not so pleasant in that experience. But what could you do? The alternative would be, you know, a person sometimes says to himself, I'll never be that. That's not necessarily your choice. If the situation is such that you don't have and you need to survive and you need to provide food and clothing for your family and children, what are you supposed to do? So it's not a pleasant feeling, but there's nothing to do other than beg other people to help you because otherwise you can't live. There are many, 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 many more poor people begging for kavod then there are poor people begging for money. Begging for money is a very small, Baruch Hashem, small part of the world. But begging for kavod, it's a world norm where you see people constantly opening their hands for others to recognize that you could almost hear their voice saying, please, could you tell me I matter? Please, Could you tell me that I count? Please, could you tell me I'm important? Please, could you tell me I'm valuable? Please tell me that I'm important. You can almost hear their voice if you're listening good. See, in this kind of begging, you're not going to see the hand out, and you're not going to hear the literal request. That's why you may not catch it. But if you're tuned in and you know how to look at things, you could see the hand, not just the handout. You could see the guy's got this big, big plate that he's holding that he needs to fill up. And you'll hear his voice very loud, pleading with people around to recognize him. For what? Maybe for his car. If that's what the people in this town feel is hashuv, so he'll be recognized through his car. If the people in this town put value on clothing, so it'll be through his clothing. What kind of clothing? He'll find what they think is valuable, and they will give him importance through that. Maybe these people in this town like watches. We'll figure out what they like, so this way we can show them. Maybe they like clocks in this place. It used to be, people used to walk around. Not a watch, like a clock they used to have hanging. A pocket watch. That's out today. Today you walk around with a pocket watch, you're not respected. That's why people don't do it. But if it became in style again, you'll see people will be hanging their watches a little bit out of their pocket so that they can be recognized. Whatever it is that the people around you will be excited when they see in you, you will start to work so that they would see how valuable you really are. And you'll have, of course, to work very hard to get there. You'll have to spend a lot of money sometimes so you can get their attention. Maybe sometimes you have opportunities for these things to come out. Maybe by a wedding, you'll show them how wealthy you are. You want to show them how important you are. So therefore, you have to make way more so that you get their attention. Maybe it'll be via bar mitzvah. Use opportunities. Could be just your birthday. Who knows? Any opportunity you have to show people your true value, you will take that opportunity and run with it. What could you do? You need to fill up your kavod tank. You're running on empty. And this is the way of life. I'm sorry, I'm being very personal, because this is truly personal to every listener. Everyone listening is like, why is he saying this about me now? But the truth is, I share the same challenges as everybody else. We all struggle with this, no matter who we are. Wealthy people struggle with this. Less wealthy struggle with this. Poor people struggle with this. Rabbis struggle with this. Everybody struggles with this. Everybody. A rabbi could spend his whole life trying to get people to like him. I need people to tell me how great my class was. I need people to tell me how great of a person I am. I have to do things to get their attention. I don't do it with weddings. I do it in other ways. Maybe the way I speak, I'll speak in a way where I get them to think I'm really important, or the way I talk, or the way I, whatever it is. There's all these games being played on every level of life for every single person. This is truly one of our life's most important challenges. We all have to deal with it. Do not think this is a class that's pointed to wealthy people only, or people who do these types We're all in the same boat. We all have many challenges in this area. And the first thing we need to do is recognize what is actually happening inside of us. Why is it that we feel the need to do this and to act this way? And to why are we doing it? So the first thing is to recognize it. When we recognize it, we'll start going to the right kavod station. When you go to the right kavod station, you don't need to have all these types of challenges around you that you need to fill up from their tanks. Their tanks, they're just like hamet. They fill up for a little bit and then they go very quickly and empty. But when you fill up from your own, when you invest in yourself, take on more learning, take on your tefillot, should be more meaningful. Take on more mitzvot, do it the right way. Make your character refined, become this beautiful person. Invest in yourself. You have an hour, learn something. You have something to do, get up and do it. Give kavod to your parents like you've never done before. Treat people like you've never treated them before. Give honor to others like you've never honored before. Invest in yourself. Take from the ingredients within and make the kedusha very, very, very big in your life. And then you'll have real kavod that's lasting. It's not up and down. Not like the hametz that expires. The matzah is all the way. Leave it around however long you want. It stays good. It's consistent because it's got no external factors that's trying to steal its personality. It's trying to steal its reality. If the word hametz, by the way, in Tanakh, sometimes describes someone who's stealing. Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Asheru hametz, which means strengthen the guy who someone stole from him. Why is the hametz called stealing? Because it steals from the person his happiness. It steals from the person his true essence. It tries to replace the real kavod that's within him. He can get it. And tries to replace it with something outside. That is one of the great accomplishments that we can have the night of Pesach. As we're eating the matzah, the feelings have to be independence. I need to recommit myself to my growth. I need to commit myself to me being a great person. To invest in my own inner kavod. And not allow any external factor to be stealing from me my life accomplishment and my life mission and my life happiness. That is another important feeling that needs to come with the eating of the matzah. Kavod from within. Yesterday we learned that the matzah, we need to feel that our life is in our own hands. To work it, don't be a spectator. Today we learn another feeling. These feelings have to be prepared beforehand. So when you eat the matzah, they just come. And you will be able, Be'ezrat Hashem, we will be able to have a tremendous, tremendous hatzlacha in our mitzvah of matzah this Seder. Have a wonderful day.